But I want us to look this morning, look back over 2013 responsibly. On Sunday evenings at a particular congregation, they would have those who had not yet had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper to stand so that they could be seen clearly by those who would preside at the Lord's table that evening. Witnessing this, a young boy would turn around and he would look to see who was standing. It just so happened that the Bible class that this young man was a part of on Sunday morning decided that they were going to study Lot and his wife from Genesis chapter 19. That afternoon, the young boy went home and he very excitedly told his mom and dad all about the things which he could remember concerning Sodom and Gomorrah and how that God had destroyed the city, and talking about Lot and Lot's wife and how that when she looked back leaving the cities, she turned into a pillar of salt. Later that evening, the services were as usual, and when the two men stood at the Lord's table, they said, "If anyone is present and has not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, if you would please stand, someone will serve you." As people moved in their seats, a few rose from their seats, and this young boy turned around once again to see who it was that might be standing. It was at this point that his mother leaned over and said, "Remember Lot's wife." I can say from that point until this day, I have not looked back for that purpose again. Now, with that being said, I think we can all agree that looking back is not always good. Paul said it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul did not look back or keep hold of the things that were in the past. Rather, he allowed them to be in the past so that he could look forward and reach forward and strive for what was ahead of him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Our Lord wants men and women who are wholly dedicated to Him and the purpose for which they have been called. Looking back does, however, have incredible benefits when it is done responsibly. One of the most beautiful passages in Scripture concerning this looking back is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Our Lord is looking at, or Paul, rather, is looking back at the Lord's Supper and the institution of it. And in taking that look back at what the memorial feast represents and why it was instituted, there is the most beautiful and most responsible looking back that can be done. Every Lord's Day, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we look back responsibly at Calvary. What was accomplished there, what was done for us, and more importantly, how we should live and what we should do, having the knowledge of those things. in this sense, looking back motivates the Christian to look and to move forward to the day in which will be our last, to the day in which the judgment day will take place. And with that way of looking back, responsibly, recognizing that looking back is only for our learning so that we may move forward with a better outlook, with better effort, with more motivation, we can look back responsibly. We see similar things in the life of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. When he looked back over his life, he was able to say confidently, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Paul had persevered, struggled at times, no doubt, but he continued to serve God until the very end. Paul made these comments when he was about to die. He knew the end was near for his life. And he waited until the end of his race, and he looked back on it responsibly. And we know that it was a responsible look back because of what Paul said in the very next verse, verse 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved His appearing." Paul knew that by his looking back upon his life and seeing what he had done, that there was something far greater still ahead that awaited his arrival, awaited his time. Therefore, if we look back responsibly, we can be motivated to live closer to the Lord, stronger for the church, and with deeper commitment for the future. So this morning, I ask you to consider with me some questions concerning this look back over 2013 in a responsible way. First of all, I ask, did we share the leaven in 2013? Leaven suggests permeation, a silent, consistent working, that only a small amount of leaven is needed for a large quantity of dough. And so it is in the parable of the leaven, Matthew chapter 13 and Luke chapter 13 as well, that the kingdom message and its influence permeates the whole world. We look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus said, "Another parable He spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." Leaven here is being compared to the dynamic character of yeast. Yeast expands by itself when it's worked into the dough. Yeast powers growth, not from without, but from within, and grows outwardly. The kingdom of God will grow in the same way. It grows from an internal dynamic. The Holy Spirit and His working through the written word, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, coupled with 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. And thus the Christian has a great and notable duty to share the leaven, to share the kingdom message. It is our responsibility as given to us in the Great Commission to share the leaven, to share the message, and allow the message to accomplish what the message was designed to do. Our responsibility to spread the leaven, and our responsibility in sharing the message might be viewed as mustard seed by the world, but the potential for it is astronomical. Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32, right before this parable of the leaven, Jesus had this to say about the mustard seed. "Another parable He put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which when a man took and sowed in a field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, It's the least of all the seeds. And the world looks at our responsibility to share the gospel and the message which we do share as maybe being that mustard seed. It's not going to accomplish much. You're putting forth too small of an effort. There's too little when there's so much that you've got to change. And so they cast it aside as being nothing. But then Jesus says, "But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." It only takes a small seed to grow a large tree. In the hands of God, it only takes a small seed, a small amount of leaven, for Him to produce growth that is far beyond the sower's biggest and wildest dreams. Let us therefore plant. Let us water. And let us trust God for the increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. The leaven of the gospel will penetrate and permeate the hearts of people when it is sown, when it is shared. Did we share the leaven in 2013? With that, we must look forward to 2014. Will we share the leaven in 2014? Next, I ask, did we stand for the seven in 2013? The platform for Christianity is laid down in seven ones found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. These seven ones describe the unified church. Each one a common area, common and greater than the potential differences which the church may face. We are called to be united, that there is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father. We are here united together this morning upon these seven ones. These seven ones establish the unity of the Spirit that as Christians we must strive to keep in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Looking again at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7, when Paul said, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." By stating, "I have kept the faith," Paul declared his stance. He stood for truth, and we should do the same through commitment and dedication to the truth, which we can all be united upon. These seven ones. We must stand for the truth, or else, as the country song once said, we'll fall for anything. Question then comes, did we stand for the seven in 2013? Bringing about and fostering unity and strengthening unity which already existed. Look back responsibly. And then look forward to 2014. Will we stand for the seven in 2014? Final question we ask. Did we strive for heaven in 2013? Did we truly strive for heaven in the last year? By faith, it is said that Abraham looked for a city of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he did not receive as an inheritance, or which he did receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham did not know where he was going when he was called to go. How he was going to survive, he did not know. Or if he would return, he did not know. But one thing he did know, he knew that his faith was in a just God. Therefore, Abraham trusted God. He trusted God to lead him in the unknown. Abraham waited there. He waited for a city that was promised to him. And though that city did not come during his lifetime, he was faithful to the very end. His faithfulness represented his affections, and his affections were set on things above, not on things on the earth. Paul told the brethren at Colossae, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." That's verse 1 of chapter 3. In verse 2 of Colossians chapter 3, Paul told them how to seek the things which are above. When he said, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." In striving for heaven, we must set our mind on things of heaven, not on the things on this earth. We must completely understand that our citizenship is not here upon this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." I am impressed with Paul's prayer in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1 when he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Paul's prayer for Israel focused on heaven. He focused on heaven because he wanted his brethren to spend eternity with God and all of the redeemed. That was his prayer. Is our desire the same? Did we strive for heaven in 2013? Will we strive for heaven in 2014? We need to get very personal for a moment. And I need to ask you to ask yourself this one question. Test yourself to see whether you are of the faith. And ask yourself this personal question. Did I live as I should have in 2013. I know that if you're like I am, you have a very short memory sometimes. So you can't remember back to how you lived back in the summer. Or maybe you can't remember back to January or February. But one thing I'm certain of is that if we look back at 2013, we can know for sure whether we did or whether we did not live the life of a Christian. Whether we did or did not live life as it should be lived. And so I've asked you this morning to take a look back over 2013. Consider whether you have lived it as it should have been lived. And then use it as motivation for better living in 2014. And I ask you, as you look forward to 2014, that you remember that in every year, to share the leaven, stand for the seven, and strive for heaven. If you've done that in 2013, you ought to be able to say, yes, you lived as you should have in 2013. And I pray that at the end of 2014, you could say the same, that you have lived 2014 as God would have you to live it, if He allows you to see it. If you're not satisfied with how you have lived in 2013, the good news is that you can prepare yourself for Jesus' return. We can all prepare for His return. That day will not be a day of fearful condemnation, but of joyful salvation. For Jesus will bring salvation to those who believe in Him. Acts 16, verse 30 and 31. To those who have turned from sin in repentance. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. To those who have confessed Jesus before men. Romans 10, 9 and 10. To those who have been baptized, immersed in His name for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. And for those who have continually waited faithfully for His return. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 18. My prayer this morning is that God help us to live life so that heaven will be our eternal home. And sometimes we need to stop and take a look back at the life we've been living. Examine it alongside God's Word. See if we're living life as we should. Look back responsibly upon your life. And if there is the need for changes to be made this morning, a loving God is waiting you. He's waiting you to come to Him so that He can make things right. Will you come to Him as we stand and as we sing?